Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Evidence-Based Hair Podcast. I'm Dr. Jeff Donovan. I'm a dermatologist and hair loss specialist, and I direct the Evidence-Based Hair Fellowship Training Program. We currently have 126 incredible hair loss specialists from 34 countries training with us. This is the official podcast of the Donovan Hair Academy. In this podcast, I review studies that are changing how we think about hair loss. I'll introduce them to you, help you make sense of them, and give you my thoughts on how a given study just might change how we diagnose or treat hair loss. Wherever you are right now, please know that you're welcome. This podcast is for educational purposes and shouldn't be considered a substitute for medical advice. On this week's podcast, we'll be talking about an interesting study comparing oral minoxidil against topical minoxidil. In fact, this entire month of May is dedicated to studies in minoxidil. The title of this study, Oral Minoxidil versus Topical Minoxidil for Male Androgenetic Alopecia, a Randomized Clinical Trial, and it was published in JAMA Dermatology in April by Penha and colleagues. I really like this study. It is one for the history books. It's one for all of us to know. It's one that will serve as a great source of discussion. I can't imagine there won't be an amazing number of letters to the editor which will follow this particular paper. This paper will excite some. This paper will confuse some. This paper will create strong emotions in many a people because it showed that oral minoxidil was not better than topical minoxidil in promoting hair growth, at least at week number 24. The two were rather the same. However, clinical photographs suggested that oral minoxidil was better than topical minoxidil in helping clinical photographic improvements in the crown, but not the front. This was a study that compared 5 milligrams of oral minoxidil against 5% topical minoxidil, 1 milliliter twice daily. And we'll get to the details in just a minute. But a randomized controlled trial, a study type which is very much needed in our field, a study type which is very much neglected in our field. So the purpose of this study was to compare the benefits of topical and oral minoxidil in male androgenetic hair loss. This wasn't a study in females. This was a study in males. But this group have done some really beautiful work in evaluating the benefits of oral minoxidil in both males and females. And here we have this wonderful study in males. So it is a randomized controlled trial, and the overall conclusion here is that 5 milligrams of oral minoxidil once daily doesn't generate all that much more hairs on the scalp compared to 5% topical minoxidil twice daily. The world absolutely is infatuated with oral minoxidil, and for good reason. It's convenient. It has a reasonable side effect profile, although it's not devoid of side effects, that's for sure. And people really don't like applying topical minoxidil all that much. And there's a tremendous amount of negative views about topical minoxidil, which have been with us since the 1980s. And so it's not surprising that oral minoxidil popularity has really taken off. This particular study was received by the media in a rather bizarre fashion. The overwhelming message of this study is that oral minoxidil surprisingly did not beat out topical minoxidil. And the message that was given in the mainstream media was that, wow, oral minoxidil is just as good as topical minoxidil. Isn't this incredible? It truly is a good option. But really the surprising thing in this study is that in a randomized study, albeit small, but in a well-conducted randomized controlled trial, oral minoxidil 5 milligrams didn't beat out topical minoxidil 5% twice daily. And so that's the key message. This is a surprise. This isn't a, we finally proven that oral minoxidil is a valid method. The message here is that oral minoxidil didn't seem to have quite the overwhelming, dramatic improvements that we would have hoped that it would have had. And we're going to talk about some studies that predated this study, but what you need to appreciate as you review this study is that there's nothing more valuable and important in our field as a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. Anecdotal studies, case reports, retrospective studies are wonderful. They're what our field is based on. And they are what fuel further work in our study. And so these are important studies, but they have nowhere near the same power as the randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. And we need to remember that. I think we really do confuse that a lot in our field, that all studies are created equal, and they're not. So oral minoxidil is a blood pressure medication, as you're well aware. It was approved for treating blood pressure in 1979. Typical doses of oral minoxidil for blood pressure were 20 to 30 or 40 milligrams, sometimes even as high as 50, 60, 70, 80 milligrams. But it was a difficult-to-use medication. It particularly increased heart rate and was often combined with beta blockers, for example, to lower heart rate. It caused a lot of fluid retention and not only leg edema, but pericardial effusions around the heart. It was a difficult medication to use. And what's so surprising is that these low doses of oral minoxidil, 5 milligrams or less, are reasonably well tolerated and don't have this particular worry to the same degree about increased heart rates and pericardial effusions. They certainly can occur, but it's much safer at these doses, 5 milligrams or less. As soon as oral minoxidil started to be used for treating blood pressure, it became very clear that people get hairier. People get hairier on the body and people get hairier on the scalp, especially if they had androgenetic hair loss. They improve their hair density. And so topical minoxidil received approval for androgenetic hair loss in 1988. That was just 9 years after its FDA approval for treating blood pressure. And it has been used for treating androgenetic hair loss in males and females for quite a long time now. There's an incredible interest in oral minoxidil. And despite this interest, what really must be kept in mind is that there's very limited number of high-quality studies. There's a good number of studies, but there's a limited number of high-quality studies. And I think we really need to remember that as we review the literature. In past episodes, we discussed a very nice study by Pancha Prateep. And it wasn't a super high-quality study, but it was the best we had until now. It was nevertheless a very nice study, and I really like this Pancha Prateep study. It was a study from Thailand published in the Journal of published in Dermatologic Therapy, titled Efficacy and Safety of Oral Minoxidil 5 milligrams once daily in the treatment of male patients with androgenetic alopecia, an open label and global photographic assessment. This was a study that I have quoted with patients an endless number of times in the last 4 years. And the reason I'm so happy to have this new study here by Penha is it really challenges this particular study. And as we'll see in a minute, these statistics from the Pancha Prateep study suggest a tremendous benefit for oral minoxidil. It wasn't a randomized study. It was an open label study. And the Pancha Prateep study suggests that everybody improves with oral minoxidil. Everybody. There's nobody who doesn't improve. And up until now, it really was the best study we had for oral minoxidil. And so for the last 4 years, I've said to patients, you know, we don't have a lot of great data for oral minoxidil to give you numbers and give you statistics, but we have the Pancha Prateep study. And the Pancha Prateep study says that everybody improves, but not a single person doesn't improve. And, you know, that's all the data we had. And so eyes pop open. People feel pretty inspired that, phew, the worst I can do is get a little better. The best I can do is get tremendously better. And this new study by Penha says that, no, it's not quite that good. And I love this study because my feeling in the last 4 years has been, no, it's not quite that good. But let's talk about the Pancha Prateep study. It's a very nice study. It's what we've relied upon for the last 4 years. It was a prospective study in 30 males, age 24 to 59, studying oral minoxidil 5 milligrams once daily for 24 weeks. There's no placebo group. It's not a randomized study. That's not the design of this Pancha Prateep study from Thailand. They evaluated hair counts, hair diameter, photographs, and gave questionnaires to patients and clinicians. And what they showed is that there was an increase in the total hair counts at week 24 by 19% and an increase in non-vellus hair counts, good big hairs, by 24% by week 24 and an increase in hair diameter by 15% by week 24. When investigators looked at the vertex area and photographs of the vertex area, they concluded that 93% of people improved. 43% had a great improvement, 50% had a moderate improvement, 6% had a minimal improvement, but 0% had no change. And so for the last 4 years, I've said to patients, you know, we don't have a lot of great data to go on, but let me tell you about the Panchapratip study. It's all we got. But the Panchapratip study says you'll have a 6% chance of getting a little bit of an increase, a 50% chance of a moderate, and a 43% chance of a great increase in the crown. So you have a 93% chance you'll be over the moon happy with your changes. For the frontal area, the Panchapratip study said that 26% of patients have minimal increase, 63% have moderate, and 10% have a great increase. But 73% have reasonable increase, and zero have no change. Zero have no change. So no matter whether you're treating the front or the crown, the Panchapratip study says you'll be pretty happy. And as we'll see in a minute, the Penha study from Brazil tells us that, no, there's a lot of people that won't be happy. And I think that's pretty accurate because in my practice, for almost 10 years of treating with oral minoxidil, there's a lot of people that are really happy. And there's a good number of people that are not happy. And the Panchapratip study has always made me feel, how come there's some people that come into my clinic and aren't happy? They should all be happy, especially males with androgenetic hair loss using 5 milligrams. And patients in the Panchapratip study were pretty happy. The side effects in the Panchapratip study were hypertrichosis in 93%, 10% having pedal edema, no serious cardiovascular effects, but 20% had abnormal EKGs. So now we come to the Penha study. These investigators are really leaders in understanding the importance of the randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. And these are the trials that we need to push this field forward in the way that we need it. And I really like this study. This is one for the history books. This is one we all need to know. This is one we need to know backwards and forwards. Title, oral minoxidil versus topical minoxidil for male androgenetic alopecia. Colon, a randomized clinical trial published in JAMA Dermatology. And it's that information that comes after the colon, a randomized clinical trial, that is so important here. It's a beautiful study which suggests to us that at least in this study, oral minoxidil didn't seem to perform so well up against topical minoxidil. It didn't beat it out. It was similar, but in a statistically rigorous manner, it didn't prove itself to be superior to topical minoxidil. And so the authors set out to compare the safety and efficacy of 5 milligrams of oral minoxidil against 5% topical minoxidil twice daily in a 24-week study, again, just in males. Study from Brazil at a single center. So this wasn't a multi-center study with groups in Brazil, Italy, Spain, Germany, Canada, United States. No, single center study. Nevertheless, a very nice study. Men aged 18 to 55 with Hamilton Norwood 3V, 4V, or 5V were in this study. They were randomized to either oral minoxidil 5 milligrams or 5% topical minoxidil solution twice daily. Some received oral minoxidil with topical placebo. Some received topical minoxidil with oral placebo. Very rigorous design. And the primary outcome, the primary endpoint, was the change in terminal hair density in the frontal and vertex scalp. Very classic study in androgenetic alopecia, with this being the primary endpoint. Secondary endpoint was total hair density changes, assessment of standard photographs, and adverse events like changes in blood pressure and heart rate. There was 90 patients that were enrolled. 68 completed the study. The mean age of patients was around 37 years. There was 33 patients in the oral minoxidil group, 35 patients in the topical group, and both of these groups were similar in their demographic data and the severity of their androgenetic hair loss. Most participants had mild to moderate androgenetic hair loss, and they were well matched, these two groups. There were dropouts in both groups, but there was no significant difference in the percent of dropouts between the two groups. This study was conducted during parts of the COVID pandemic, so there were dropouts, some simply because they couldn't make it into the clinic. But here's the data. When comparing oral minoxidil to topical minoxidil, there was a increase by about 3 terminal hairs per square centimeter and 2.6 hairs per square centimeter for total density, more in oral minoxidil than topical minoxidil, but it wasn't statistically significant. When comparing, that was for the frontal area, when comparing the differences in oral minoxidil versus topical minoxidil for the vertex area, there was 23 more terminal hairs and 5 more total hairs with oral minoxidil, but this was not statistically significant. When the authors looked at percent differences instead of the absolute numbers, they found that the vertex area had a statistically significant change in the percent of terminal hairs, and there was a 27% greater hair density in the vertex for oral minoxidil than topical. When they looked at percent hair changes in the frontal area, there was no statistically significant difference in oral minoxidil versus topical. And when they compared total hair density by a percentage, there was no difference in these particular changes in the vertex or the front with total hair density. The only difference was the percent change in terminal hair density in the vertex. What was particularly interesting in this study is one of the secondary endpoints was evaluation of photographs. What do investigators think about photographs at the 24-week time point? And what investigators found is that oral minoxidil gave better results on the vertex, but not in the frontal scalp. For the vertex area, the crown area, 70% of patients with oral minoxidil were felt to have an improvement, and that was only 46% in the topical group. And that was statistically significant, albeit barely. For the frontal area, 60% of males on oral minoxidil had an improvement compared to 48% with topical minoxidil, and that was not statistically significant difference. And so when we look at the frontal area, we can see that about 27% had a great improvement, and 14% had a great improvement with topical minoxidil, but this was not statistically significant. For oral minoxidil in the crown, 21% had a great improvement and 6% had a great improvement with topical minoxidil, and this was statistically significant for the vertex. So even though oral minoxidil didn't produce a statistically significant greater number of terminal hairs in the vertex than topical minoxidil, it was felt to create better photographs. In other words, blinded investigators felt, yeah, oral minoxidil gives better results. I really liked the evaluation of side effects in this study. Hypertrichosis was the most common side effect. It was present in half of oral minoxidil users. The incidence of hypertrichosis in oral minoxidil users was greater than topical minoxidil, 49% versus 25%. There was more headaches in the oral minoxidil group, 14% versus 2%. And scalp eczema was greater in topical minoxidil users compared to oral minoxidil users. 16% of topical minoxidil users had eczema on the scalp compared to just 2% in the oral minoxidil group. There was no difference in shedding, nightmares, insomnia, or leg edema. I think this is interesting, of course. 33 patients in the oral minoxidil group, 35 in the topical minoxidil group, so relatively small numbers, so to speak. But the questions we, of course, have is, does oral minoxidil cause insomnia? Not in this study. Does oral minoxidil give a greater increased rate of shedding than topical minoxidil? Not in this study, but certainly they both give an increased rate of shedding. The incidence of lower leg edema, pedal edema, is interesting. It really wasn't different compared to oral topical minoxidil, both the same in their incidence of causing leg edema, at least no statistically significant difference. This is an incredibly important study for the books. It's one of the first well-done comparative studies of low-dose oral minoxidil for male androgenetic hair loss. The key point is that 5 milligrams once daily didn't really demonstrate any superiority over topical minoxidil, 5% twice daily, at least in the primary endpoint, and that's terminal hairs, improvement in terminal hairs. There's certainly a hint here that oral minoxidil might be better, but at least in terms of hair numbers, it's not. And expert photographic evaluation suggests that, yeah, maybe oral minoxidil does improve hair density in the crown compared to topical minoxidil, but it wasn't a dramatic change, but it was a change. And more investigators felt that oral minoxidil helped the crown than topical minoxidil. Hypertrichosis was the most important adverse event in both groups, and headache was more prevalent in oral minoxidil users than topical. And so these are clearly side effects that we need to counsel patients about. Headaches, hypertrichosis, pedal edema, doesn't seem to be changes in sleep patterns. No reports here of any differences in cardiovascular effects, which was very interesting. We often counsel patients about the possibility of palpitations, but in this study, oral minoxidil was quite well tolerated. We do have to warn patients about hair shedding in the first 2 months. 9% of oral minoxidil users had shedding and 16% of topical minoxidil users, but this wasn't a statistically significant difference. So we can't conclude that shedding rates are truly lower in oral minoxidil users. But it is a wonderful reminder of the power of randomized studies. This Pancher-Pateep study suggested that 93% of oral minoxidil users had nice results compared to 69% here in the PENA study. In the Pancher-Pateep study, there wasn't a single person that didn't benefit from oral minoxidil. It was a fail-safe treatment to get everybody better. But one-third of patients in this PENA study didn't get benefits, and some were even worse. And so in the PENA study, 21% had a great improvement. In the Pancher-Pateep study, 43% had a great improvement. So some differences. There's certainly debate on how well oral minoxidil works and how well it works compared to topical minoxidil. This debate is not over. This study is a well-designed study, and there's no argument there. There's no argument that a randomized controlled trial beats out a prospective study or retrospective study any day. I think we forget that. I think we forget the power of these randomized controlled trials. And they're very different. They position themselves very differently. And so this debate isn't over. I look forward to the follow-up comments to JAMA about this study. I look forward to the follow-up studies that come from this. This will certainly lead to certain people feeling very differently about this study than other people. There's no denying that we have a real love for oral minoxidil. I think this study tempers that infatuation just a bit and reminds us that, yeah, it might be better, but it probably isn't quite as good as we want it to be. We desperately want oral minoxidil to be the answer to androgenetic hair loss, and this study reminds us that it helps, but it might not be quite as good as we'd like it to be, at least in this study. I just want to thank you so much for joining me this week. Next week, we're back talking again about minoxidil. The entire month of May is dedicated to minoxidil, and we'll be talking about a very interesting study in the Journal of Drugs and Dermatology by Sanfilippo and Friedman, looking at the opinions of practitioners about oral minoxidil in the United States. I really like this study, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Thanks so much for joining me today. Look forward to seeing you next week for another episode of the Evidence-Based Hair Podcast.